The flooding along the Mississippi is moving south like a bulge down a snake, heading to Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi. It's expected to crest in New Orleans by January 19th. It's left devastation and deaths, at least 25, in its wake. So what happens in the days ahead? John Barry knows a thing or two about Mississippi River flooding. He's the author of Rising Tide, The Great Mississippi Flood of 1927 and How It Changed America. He's also a former member of the Southeast Louisiana Flood Protection Authority East and the Louisiana Coastal Protection Authority. Now, he's still very concerned about ocean flooding and wind-driven hurricane flooding from the coast. But what about the water bearing down on him there in New Orleans, coming with the Mississippi from the other direction? John, welcome back.
Thank you.
And when we spoke in August, you'd written in the New York Times, and you said then that the Mississippi River was actually what gave New Orleans and Louisiana a chance, because it's the sediment carried by the Mississippi that formed Louisiana's entire coast, a coast that's now being eroded by the ocean. So, first of all, is your sentiment about sediment, that it's good, also true about a flooding Mississippi?
I mean, the river's sediment actually created all the land from Cape Girardeau, Missouri, to the Gulf of Mexico. And when the river floods, it carries a lot more sediment. So, ironically, this flood will deliver a lot of sediment to the Gulf of Mexico area. Louisiana is not yet prepared to take advantage of most of the sediment.
Right. So we'll talk about New Orleans in a minute. But first of all, just the flooding that's been going on this winter in general, because that's not usual. We're used to springtime flooding. So your thoughts on that?
Well, you're correct. That's extraordinary. I don't know of another time when this early the river has been this high. 1927, the year that I wrote about, that was the greatest flood on record. It was probably bigger than 2011. And, of course, the protection system was much weaker. And that flooded probably 1% of the entire population of the United States. Mm. It killed people from Virginia to Oklahoma. And in 1926, there was a pronounced El Nino year. Now we are going through a record or near-record El Nino year from last year, and even earlier we have flooding. It is serious. The real question in terms of the lower river and whether this becomes a threat even greater than 2011 is what's going to happen in the future in terms of later rains, because we have ground that is already saturated. We have a river that even after the crest passes, it will still be pretty high, which means the sort of natural reservoir that the river banks themselves provide will be full. So if you get any substantial rains the rest of the spring, then you're going to have months of real concern and threat. Now, fortunately, the long-range weather forecast over the next few months is actually relatively dry. But if that's a mistake, then it will be a very serious spring.
Well, and you mentioned the El Nino, which, of course, people are worried about. It's the natural warming of the oceans that then causes these severe weather patterns, and it's been made more profound by global warming. And so people are very worried about the El Nino this spring. As you say, if those rains come, the ground will be too saturated. NOLA.com, where you are, reports that levee stompers are out in full force. What's a levee stomper?
Well, basically they're referring to patrols, whether on foot or on an ATV. You have to look constantly at the levees for any sign of weakness. There are what is referred to as sand boils, which is when river water seeps through the levee and starts to erupt. If those things are not contained, then a flow of earth will come underneath and undermine the levee. There are slides where parts of the levee will slip and slide down, the same thing that weakens the levee. And when you have this enormous weight and force of the water pressing against the levee, imagine someone with their shoulders contained in a jacket and trying to expand their shoulders and arms to burst the jacket or the constraint. And that's what the river is doing. And if there is a weakness, the river is going to find it and exploit it. So the inspections and action, if there's a weakness found, I mean, that is a 24-hour-a-day operation for hundreds of miles.
We're looking at rivergages.com, G-A-G-E-S.com. It's the water levels of rivers and lakes in the area. And, for instance, one near Knox Landing, I don't know where that is. It's the Mississippi River near Knox. It shows that it's in 24 hours, the water has risen a foot. That seems like a lot.
I guess that's about probably a little more than 100 miles north of New Orleans.
Yeah.
It is a lot, and it can rise faster than that.
Well, in New Orleans, it's expected to rise to 17 feet. That's by mid-January. Now, when we spoke in August, you talked about the New Orleans new flood protection system. It was built to protect against the so-called 100-year storm. I'll take a second here because you reminded us that sounds safe, but it isn't. Doesn't mean every 100 years. It means a 50% chance at least one storm of that magnitude in a lifetime. Holland has a 10,000-year protection. New York doesn't even have the 100. So as you say, New Orleans is ahead of that game. But you say it's a foolish game that cities should be building for a 500-year flood standard.
Well, in fact, the river levees are built to a much higher standard. We were talking then about the hurricane protection system.
Make the difference, yeah.
Well, when they designed the flood protection system, they used the standard of the 27 flood, which was, as I said earlier, the greatest flood in history. The Corps of Engineers at the time looked at what was the worst possible case that they knew of on record coming from each river basin, added them up, added a margin of safety on top of it, and built the river levees on the lower Mississippi River. Not all the way north. The upper Mississippi and its tributaries have a much lower standard. But on the lower river, they built them against that worst possible scenario. They did not design it to some arbitrary statistical standard. More recently, for cost reasons, when they look at flooding, they do a statistical analysis, which they hope is accurate and may or may not be, of what a 100-year event would be, and they design against that. That's what they did with the hurricane protection system. Again, the river levees on the lower part of the Mississippi River, roughly from Cairo, Illinois, to the Gulf.
Are better.
No, much better.
Yeah.
Much, much better. Probably about a 750-year standard or something akin to that.
Well, so how do you feel about the predicted rise in mid-January?
Well, I think there's going to be some flooding. It's not likely at this point to be as severe as 2011. However, it's very early, and if you have more rain, you have the natural reservoir of the river is already full. You have saturated land so that any rain that falls will run off instead of being soaked into the soil. So if you have precipitation over the next several months, significant precipitation, you have a real threat, you know, deep into the spring.
What's not being done? You got yourself into some trouble by speaking out about what you say are the politics and the cost considerations. But what in your mind is not being done?
Well, again, on at least the lower part of the river, I think the Corps of Engineers did a very good job in designing a flood protection system. I think people don't realize how big the 2011 flood was, and yet on the lower river again, there was very little damage. There was actually 10,000 square miles of land that was underwater in 2011. But all of that was by design. That was all areas, almost all of it, had been largely reserved to store floodwaters. There were floodways and so forth that were, in effect, reservoirs to hold that water. So, and the levee standard for the lower river is pretty good. And there are features that were not used in 2011 because they weren't needed. But nonetheless, you have that constant pressure of the river against a levee. It does not end. A hurricane lasts a few hours. A river flood can last many days and in some cases weeks. That pressure is pushing against the levee. So you have to remain alert. And there are hundreds of miles of levees, well over 1,000 when you realize it goes down on both sides of the river and you throw in some tributaries. If you had a mainline Mississippi River levee breach, it could by itself flood thousands of square miles. And depending on where it hit, it could flood some pretty good-sized cities.
That's John Barry, author of Rising Tide, The Great Mississippi Flood of 1927 and How It Changed America, saying that what New Orleans and other cities that are bracing for flooding need to do is be vigilant at this point. John, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.